Girdle keeps things from hanging out that should not be. Preach. There's some things about us that shouldn't be hanging out. We need to get those things under control. We need to gird. Come on and say amen. He said the loins gird about with truth. I need to have on the belt of truth. Amen. And having my breastplate of righteousness. In other words, I need to make sure that my heart is right and my insides are right. To protect that, I need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I need to have my feet ready to preach this gospel. I have to have my feet ready to spread the gospel. I have to be ready to go where he wants me to go, do what he wants me to do. And he said, this is a gospel of what? Peace. Come on. This ain't a gospel of mess. This ain't the gossip. This is the gospel. We need to preach the gospel and stop preaching that other stuff. We need to stop being psychiatrists on Sunday and preach a word that touches the spirit of a person and causes them to change. I'm not here just to cause your mind to be tickled and to get your itchy ears tickled. I'm here to preach a word that will pierce your very spirit, because you can't change without the spirit. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions will be in an uproar. You don't know how you feel. One day you feel good, you feel saved. The next day you don't. I'm here to help you by interjecting this spiritual word to a spiritual being so that you understand what a spiritual God has to say to you. Come on and say hallelujah. He says, and above all, and all of that, I need to take the shield of faith, wherewith I can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In other words, whatever Satan shoots at me, because guess what? He's really a coward. He really can't face you. Come on. He has to set traps up for you, because if you look like Jesus, he won't come to you. Come on and say amen. The Bible.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
The second Lord's Supper experience today. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. 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 Get your Bibles. Stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again now for the time of sharing your word. Let the Holy Ghost minister unto us through the text, unfolding it and giving us illumination and understanding, and then giving us power to practice the principles we learn so that we may profit from them and give you all praise. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. The believer said, amen. Amen. I want to call your attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14.
Amen.
I want to commence, excuse me, reading at verse 1. Recorded are these words. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. Verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word and to those who obey it. Verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, blessed to do your best. Blessed to do your best. When I look at this word, my brothers and sisters, especially in light of the preparation of the burial of Jesus Christ after he had already on several occasions mentioned to the disciples, spoke to the disciples, prophesied to the disciples of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. As he spoke those things in various audiences, this woman, no doubt, shortly before the crucifixion, this Mary of Bethany, sister of Martha and Lazarus, anointed Christ with some costly ointment in view of his coming death. This great deed of consecration was criticized by his disciples, but Christ defended her. One of the things I think you need to recognize, my brothers and sisters, is when you do your best, the Lord will always come to your defense. Your best may not be somebody else's best. Your ability may not be somebody else's ability. Your capacity to do a certain job a certain way may not be on the same level at the same point and place where someone else's expectations may be. But one thing you must rest assured in is this, that when you are blessed to do your best, that is all God expects of you. One of the things that I think most of us miss most often in our lives is we live beneath the expectation that God has for our lives. God expects us to do our best. He expects us to do the possible. He expects us to do what is our rightful ability and assignment to do. God has promised he'll put no more on us than what we can bear. So no matter what we get, no matter what confronts us, what we deal with, God has already measured it out and has made sure that it is not, I repeat, not more than we can handle. It may be more than we choose to handle. It may be more than we choose to deal with. It may be more than we choose to accept. But know this, it is not more than God has put on us to accomplish. We will never, ever be overloaded by God. I want you to know this because there are some things I want you to look at in this word. Again, when we look at this word and see this thing, I want you to see something about this woman. The Bible makes clear, again, verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. We've spoken from this message before. We want you to recognize, again, this was a very costly, costly ointment. This was a costly oil. Now, to get a grasp of that, in that day, a penny was the equivalent of one day's earning. To have 300 pence plus, because it says more than, was equal to 300 days of pay. Now, recognizing that on that basis, it is very precious. Now, they say Mary, there is some discrepancy as to what Mary this was, even though it says Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. There are some who says that it might have been the other Mary and in Scripture, and that suggested that she was a harlot and that this was a part of what she used to lure men in, to bring them in, to entice them with a sweet smelling savor. They had an ointment and odor that was distinctively different from the common use of perfume. As a matter of fact, it was a calling card. And men, listen, knew the quality of the woman by her perfume. Cheap perfume. Cheap woman. Expensive perfume. Expensive woman. And so it is suggested that after this woman met Jesus, was converted, life turned around. She no longer needed the tools of the trade since she gave up her tricks. I don't know what Mary it was, but whatever Mary it was, she had some expensive perfume. Listen at this. And it was hers to do what she wanted to do with it. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. Because if this was the woman who was the harlot, if this was the woman whose life was turned around, it's a great example for us to recognize that God can use anything that we have, even if it were in times past used for the devil's pleasure. It can be used now for the kingdom's profit. Because the stuff in and of itself wasn't bad. It was the motives and those things that were utilized in making those things bad. And so this woman now changed and transformed, and she comes in and she's at Simon the leper's house and they're eating, and her heart's desire was to bless the man who blessed her life, to turn her around, to pull her from that wayward way of life, to do something for him, to show her appreciation. Yes. And I want you to see this word, my brothers, my sisters. The Bible says, verse 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. Yes. Notice who was around. It was his own people. Yes. Who were hating on him and what she had done for him, who was hating on the fact that she loved him enough to give him her best, who was hating on him because this woman's commitment and her desire to give her best far exceeded those around him, and because those who were around him did not know her story. They didn't understand why she could give him the glory the way she did. Listen, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's not the concern, or you shouldn't worry about the concern of others who see you give your best to the Lord. They don't know what the Lord has done for you. They don't know where the Lord has brought you from. They don't know how far God's reached down and picked you up. They don't know how many doors he's opened up for you. They don't know how many ways he's made for you. They don't know how many times he answered your prayer. They don't know how many times he spared your life. So when you give your best to God, it doesn't matter who sees you or what they say. And so this woman came in there. First thing I want you to take notice of is her focus. Somebody say focus. Because when you want to bless the Lord, you've got to stay focused, because the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep you from keeping your focus on him. Notice first of all what her focus was not on. When she came in the room, her focus was not on the crowd. Tell somebody, don't worry about the crowd. Secondly of all, and here's the next thing I really want you to pay attention, because this is important. Even
even if the crowd don't get you, sometimes the criticism will. Yeah. But she didn't focus on the criticism. Because you know that was going to be folks talking about who she thinks she is. There she is trying to entice the Lord. You know, that whatever their motives were, it wasn't her motive. And she knew her heart was right and she was real. And so she came to do what she came to do. And listen at this, it wasn't for them. It was for him. You see, I've got issues with folk who come to church and can't praise God, can't lift up holy hands, can't do anything that shows their love and appreciation for God, but they can go to games and lose their mind. They can get out on the dance floor and act a plumb fool. They can go to work and do whatever the man tells them to do with a smile all over their face. And yet when they come to the house of the Lord, they act like they toot all that to give him praise and glory. I thank God I'm not God. I know you thank him too. She wasn't worried about the criticism. Don't worry about what folks say about you. Can I tell you, they're going to talk if you do good. They're going to talk if you do bad. They're going to talk if you don't even give them nothing to talk about. Her focus wasn't on the crowd. Her focus wasn't on the criticism. And can I tell you something else? Her focus wasn't even on the cost. It was very expensive stuff. You know, when stuff is expensive for us. I said, when stuff is expensive, we think two and three times when it comes to the Lord. Now this is expensive. What could I do with this? He don't need all this. He God. You think about it. Now don't get over analytical. Don't act holier than thou. You got some stuff you think is too good for the Lord. All you want to do is just, if you don't believe me, I can ask you to bring your paycheck, your W-2, and show you your contributions. And I can tell most of you that you think your stuff, your money is too good for the Lord. I think some of you think your time is too good for God. That's why you only show up once a week for 2 hours. And if it's more than that, you're checking your watch. I know some of you think your talents are too good for God. You sing all out there, all in the shower, all everywhere else, but you won't come up in the choir. No. I mean, I can go on down the list until I get to your house, but I think you already know what you got. Can I tell you, when you give him your best, it's going to cost you your best. God doesn't want your meagerness, your littleness, your this'll do. That might be all right for somebody else, but God wants your best. That's why he gave you his best. That's why the best, Jesus, gave you his life, so that you might have life more abundantly. And yet anything will do for the Lord, except when you want something from him. Her focus wasn't on the crowd. It wasn't on the criticism. It wasn't on the cost, but it was on the Christ. Nobody but the Christ. Tunnel vision. Blinders on. Didn't see nobody else but Jesus. Had her mind made up. Her mind was on her master, and her master was on her mind. Not those other folk around him. So we see her focus. But secondly, you need to see her faith. Because when you look at the word, her faith determines how she walks and how she talks and how she gives. She is come, the Bible says, aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Mary believed Christ when he predicted that he would die. She believed him. She heard him, but she believed him. The disciples were all around him, and they tried to dispel that truth, that prophecy, the reality of that. They couldn't hear of that, would not think of that, didn't understand that. But this woman heard him say that, and she believed him. Isn't it strange sometimes how the folk who are the closest to you don't believe in someone yet a bit far off hears it and it resonates in their spirit and they believe and act according to their faith. Listen, what this woman did because of her faith, all she had was an alabaster box of oil. Precious spikenard ointment. So costly, it was perhaps the most costly thing she possessed. But compared to her Christ, it was the least that she could give. And she went in there with a mind made up to go and to anoint him. And because, can I tell you, when stuff is expensive, it has a different packaging from stuff that is cheap. It was encased in a box, and then from the box she broke it and then pulled out the oil and then she poured it on his head. In that day and time, they didn't do embalming like we do in our modern days. That was the way they would take precious oils and spikenards and myrrhs and aloes, etc., and they would anoint the body with and pour it on, and then they would wrap the body in linen, and then they would go through with their burial process and the procedures. And this was one of the ways that this woman, after hearing, not knowing exactly when, but it was her sacrifice because of the faith she had in him. She heard about his death. But it didn't stop there. She heard about his resurrection. And so this woman saw this as an investment in the Lord Jesus. This was not a thing she would do once and it'd be done away with. She was just doing her part in celebrating him, not just preparing him for the death portion of the job, but the resurrection portion of the job. And all she could do was her part. She couldn't do nobody else's part. Can I tell you, when it comes down to doing your best, you've got to assess the situation and say, I can't do it for you, I can't speak for you, but I am responsible and accountable for myself, for the words that come out of my mouth, for the actions I do in this body. And she recognized, with all those others there, that she was responsible only for herself. And so when you look at her faith, listen to this. She believed him when he said it, and she operated, walked by faith, and did her best. Go back to scripture. I want you to see this right quick. Because the Bible says, verse 6, Jesus said, let her alone. See, all you got to do is do your best. God's going to always have your back. Folk talking about you, you doing your best. They're criticizing you doing your best. You ain't got to answer them back. Notice she didn't say nothing in scripture. Jesus took up her cause. I got to tell you, he's going to have somebody to take up your cause when you do your best, because they're going to see and understand by the revelation that God gives to them that you are doing your best. He says, why trouble ye her? Why are you picking on her? Why are you bothering her? You know what's crazy about it? They wouldn't have had nothing to say if she had done it to them. You don't hear me here. Most folk who complain about what happens to you is upset because it didn't happen to them. It don't take all of that, because they ain't getting all that. Nobody needs that much, because they ain't got that much. I mean, I can walk down the list, but it's always, notice, because you don't hear folk who are blessed and abundantly blessed and who are overflowing with blessings talking that impoverished mentality. You don't hear folk who are on top talking like folk who are on the bottom. There is a gulf between the two. Mentalities are different. When you get to the point where your blessings overtake you, it is so you can be a greater blessing on a different level. And if you only had a little, you couldn't do but a little. But folk think you want it all for you. But when you are in the place where God wants you to be, he can always call you to be a blessing to somebody else. Why are you bothering her? She had wrought a good work, here it is, on me, not you. I know that part ain't in your Bible, but that really is what ought to go there, because that's why they got issues. Verse 7, for ye have the poor with you always. Here it is. You know, folks try to make up excuses. Now, they really want to say, you know, she ain't did it to me, so it don't make sense. That's a waste because it's being done on you since she's not done it to me. And then they're going to talk about, well, you know, they got some poor people out there who could use this and blah, blah, blah. Jesus said, hold up. You worry about poor people? Newsflash, they're going to be here always, all the time. So you want to act holier than thou? You will have an opportunity every day in every way to be a blessing to poor people everywhere. So don't act like it's all about the poor people, because you got poor people all around you that you're not being a blessing to. But it was with ulterior motives that they were throwing that out. Listen again, I want you to see this. Bible says, verse 8, she hath done what she could. Now Jesus assesses the situation. Can I tell you, Jesus know what you can do? And oh, you may fool me, and you may fool somebody else, you may fool the boss on the job, you may fool this person, you may fool others, but you can never fool God. She hath done what she could. That's her faithfulness. Her faith prompted her faithfulness, because her focus on Christ increased her faith, and her faith prompted her faithfulness, and she did the best she could do with what she had. Oh, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, how different would this world be? How different would our situations be? How different would our finances be? How different would our health be? How different would everything be if the words could be said that we did our best? We did what we could. You know when you don't regret stuff? When you've done everything you could. You might not like the outcome, and you might not like how it ends up, but when you've done the best you can, when you've done everything you could. Sometime in marriage counsel, people come and they say such and such and such, and yeah, well, he didn't do such and such, and doesn't she, you know, he said, well, she didn't do such and such, and the question inevitably becomes, have you done all you could? No. Well, can I tell you, you can never ever go forward, you can never go on, you can never make things work, or you can never go apart and not have to regret unless you have done your best. Because here's what you need to know, your best does not necessarily constitute the other person doing their best. But God's going to reward you for your best. Listen to this. He's holding you responsible for you. And so when people let other people change their behavior, change their character, pull them out of their character because they are acting like somebody else, God's still going to ask you, have you done your best? In the church, the weight, the load is on but a few of the many. And many are doing what they can, the best that they can. And God is going to honor and reward that faithfulness. But there are others who give up and give in because they look and see somebody else not doing what they think they should be doing. But God's going to ask you, have you done what you could? Because you are here. And every person who views me by television or hears me by radio or by CD will recognize that wherever you are by the grace of God. And when God decides he's going to promote you, it's only going to become the reality after you have done your best. Listen at Jesus give this rating on this woman's work. She hath done what she could. There is no more to add to that. Because here's the truth. You can't do what you can't. Why are you always worrying about, Lord, I wish I had enough to do this. And Lord, I wish I had this ability to do it. Ooh, I wish I could sing. Because if I could sing, well, you can't sing, but you can make a joyful noise. You might not be able to sing, but you can clap your hands. You can start. I wish I had a witness in the house. Do what you can do. Maybe you can't be a preacher, but you can be a missionary. You can be a witness. You can be an encourager. You can be a giver. You can be a doer.